Good afternoon. I thank Mother Brenda for that message. I thought she was going to speak my message for a minute. In my message, I have a question for you. Do you have the discipline to evangelize? And if so, are you using it? Let's first talk about discipline. It means to train, to be developed through instructions, self-control, obedience, and correction in certain areas. Amen. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves instructions loves knowledge, but he who hates corrections is stupid. That's the word of God. That's not something I made up. The word of God says you're stupid. Amen. Having or showing a great lack of intelligence or common sense. Ooh. A lack of intelligence or common sense. Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He chastises everyone who he accepts as a son. Are you a son of God? Yeah. A son of God does not have a gender. It's male or female.
That's right.
Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit are sons of God. So if you're being led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. Amen. So that includes everybody in here, I hope.
Amen.
Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You don't sit there and watch your child walk towards a burning flame. You don't watch him touch it and then say something to him.
Right.
You discipline him promptly so he won't burn himself.
Amen.
Now that we have defined discipline, let's look at what it means to evangelize. Evangelize means to convert or seek to convert to Christianity, to bring to Christ or into the fold people of the same belief, to spread the gospel, to publicly preach, declaring the faith to others.
Yes, yes.
This person doesn't have a problem meeting strangers and asking questions that eventually leads to the question as to where do you serve God at?
Yes.
Opening the door for them to spread the gospel or plant a seed. An evangelist can be a person that stands behind a pulpit or a podium with an audience of one or many, encouraging them to be saved and to have faith in God by communicating with them the message of hope. The street can be your pulpit or the podium. You doesn't have to stand up in the pulpit,
right,
or behind a podium to spread the word of God.
Amen.
You can make your dinner table,
yeah,
a podium.
Right.
You can make a grocery cart your podium.
Right.
When you're in a grocery store, sometimes the Lord speaks to you and lets you know,
yeah,
this person needs a word from,
yeah,
me. Walk up to that person and give them a word. This morning, as I was on my way to church, I had a little emergency, and I had to stop by Jack in the Box. And as I was opening the door, there was a man standing there, and he said, please pray for me. And I told him, if you hold on a minute, I'll do it right then.
Yeah.
God sent me there to bring a word to him, to pray for him. He knew that man was there in,
yeah,
need of something.
Yeah.
This person usually is outgoing, personable, and confident in his message with a desire to please God.
Yeah.
A person that proclaims glad tidings, the gospel, and is a messenger of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You may be communicating to people that's beyond your natural sphere of influence. which is your area of activity or interest or expertise. We have some people that's been married over 20 years. We have some people that's been married 8, 9, 10 years. That's your area of expertise. You've learned how to stay in that marriage for as long as you have. So you can witness to somebody else, letting them know what it takes to stay in that marriage. That's your area of expertise. Your area of expertise is only a familiar area which you can use to help others to come to Christ. Some of our area of expertise is drugs and alcohol. Some of us have gone through that. And we can witness to somebody else that's dealing in that same area, that's struggling with that same thing. So make that your podium, standing and talking to someone else concerning something that you have already been through. Did you say that's not me? God says, yes, it is you. If he brought you through something, then that's you. He's talking to you. You are his servant. Then he's speaking to each and every one of us. He wants you to use that thing to help encourage someone else. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, and he himself, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, to build up the body. It's no longer about you, it's about him. It's about the body of Christ, building it up. You don't want to be like, well, I'm skipping up. It is very important to know your gifting. And you don't want to be like the Jewish exorcist that tried to cast out an evil spirit. And they say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You got to make sure you know your gifting. Make sure you're not in an area where you don't know anything about. Did somebody ask the question, what does discipline have to do with it? I thought you would never ask. Evangelism include 8 spiritual disciplines designed to help you grow in your faith in a way that will overflow to others. These are 8 spiritual disciplines that I've picked out. There's many more disciplines that we need in order to be able to evangelize. Prayer is one of the major ones. Prayer is where we begin, because it solidifies our relationship with God by talking to him. When we pray, things begin to move. When I look back on some of the things that I've been through, when I went through them, I went through them because I had stopped praying, because I had stopped reading my word, because I had stopped fasting and praying before God. And I went through things unnecessarily. Acts 16 and 25 speaks of when Paul and Silas was locked up in prison. They began to pray and sing praises unto God. When they begin to sing and pray to God, things begin to happen. Things begin to break loose. A great earthquake came about. Their shackles were shook loose. The prison doors was opened. And once God delivered them, they spoke to the guards and let the guards know what their God can do. They spoke to the guards and they were saved. That means when you go through something, when God free you of something, speak to someone else. Let them know what God has brought you out of.
Amen.
The next thing is confession. 1 John 1 and 9 says, We confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
We must confess to God. We can't go to God with a dirty hands and an unclean heart.
Yeah.
We have to confess our sins to him.
Yeah.
So that he can forgive us. Then we can move on to the next step of helping someone
yeah.
else.
Amen.
As we pray, we must discipline ourselves to be silent before God.
Yeah.
It's not a relationship with God if we're constantly speaking and not listening to him.
Amen.
We have to be quiet sometimes.
Yeah.
Even in our natural life, we have to be quiet sometimes and listen to someone else's side,
yeah.
not
yeah.
always having an opinion of your own, but
yeah.
listen to God.
Yeah.
Allow him to speak to you.
Amen. Yeah. Go, girl.
Psalms 119 and 105 speaks of God's word being a light.
Yeah.
Reading and studying his word takes discipline. How does your Bible reading and study habits impact your desire to spend more time with God?
Yeah.
When you approach the word, do you do it with a heart and a posture of expectation to hear from God? How have your time in the word impacted your ability to witness to somebody else? What scriptures can you take with you to better share your faith with others?
Yeah.
Studying your word is essential in your discipline as well as evangelism. It is important to know the word of God so that you will have a solid foundation to build on.
Yeah.
The very foundation of the church is Jesus Christ,
yeah.
who is the chief cornerstone. His word is like a torch shining in a dark place,
yeah.
keeping us on the path that leads to his righteousness.
Yes, yes, yes.
We must worship. You think when the worship team gets up on Sunday morning, everybody feel like worshiping God? No, everybody doesn't always feel like worshiping God. It's a hard job to come up before people and worship God
yeah.
and to look out sometimes and they're not worshiping
yeah.
no matter how hard you sing
yeah.
or how
yeah.
no matter how hard you praise God,
yeah. Yeah.
nobody's worshiping.
Yeah.
But in that worship, you build up your spirit man
yeah.
and you bow down to God
yeah.
and affirm his totality and his omniscient and his omnipresent as we fall deeper in love with him.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We must sacrifice. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means you can't take your body anywhere.
Right.
Somebody might invite you, like I was invited to play cards. I know some of the people that playing cards, they're going to be smoking their weed.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be drinking their drink. I can't present my body to God, a living sacrifice,
uh-huh.
and enter into that environment
yeah.
knowingly.
Yeah.
You can't go to a club and say you're presenting your body to God, a living sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
You have to be sanctified, set
yeah.
aside
yeah.
for his purpose.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Submission.
Yes.
Do anybody know what submission means?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how to submit to God's will over your will?
Amen.
To yield yourself to the authority or the will of God and to submit to him, everything that we think we control, turning our will over to his will.
Mm.
That's submission.
Yes.
You can't do what you want to do every time you want to do it.
Right.
Sometimes you want to open your mouth and say something. You have to close your mouth. You have to be under submission and know when to speak and when not to speak.
Yes. Yes.
Fellowship is another discipline. This is an area where some people think they can bypass.
Right.
We don't have to go to church. I'll never step foot in a church. But in fellowship, sometimes when I see you with uplifted hands,
yes,
praising and worshiping,
yes,
God,
yes,
in our fellowship, that strengthens me. That strengthens my spirit, man. That makes me want to worship him even more.
Yes.
Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron,
yes,
so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Yes.
It also says wise people should be questioning,
uh-huh,
coaching,
uh-huh,
encouraging,
yes,
challenging,
yes,
each other in fellowship,
yes,
meetings, and any other positive interaction.
Positive. Amen.
The wise person does this. The lady that helps us put our books together, she's always on Facebook encouraging,
yes,
building up, encouraging people to do what God has called them to do, encouraging them not to sit down on what God has called them to do,
yes,
but to exercise that thing, to be in full worship of him, doing what he's called you to do.
Amen. Amen.
In Luke 14:16, it speaks of a certain man that prepared a great feast.
Mm-hmm.
And he had invited a lot of people.
Yes.
So he sent his servant out to get those people that were invited.
Yes.
Those people began to make excuses about attending, and they chose not to attend. Then the servant reported this back to the master, and the master sent him out again and told him to go out and get those people who we might call the less fortunate.
Right.
Those homeless people,
yeah,
on the street.
Yeah.
Those alcoholics that's,
yeah,
out on the street.
Yeah.
Those drug addicts that's,
yeah,
out there on the street. Go and get them and bring them in that my house may,
yeah,
be filled.
Yeah. Amen.
With those people he called in, there was still room for more. The master again sent the servant out, and he said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to,
yeah,
come, that my house may be filled. That's what he's telling us today. Go out into the highways and the byways,
yeah,
and compel them to come.
Yeah.
Compel them to come into the house of God.
Yeah.
Compel them to accept a relationship,
hallelujah,
with God.
Yeah. Yes.
This is what the master is saying to us today. You may not evangelize over a pulpit, a podium, or your dinner table, or a shopping cart in the grocery store, a street corner, but allow God to use you wherever you are.
Yes.
You have God's word and his spirit in you. Give it away freely,
yes,
so that someone else can be blessed. Plant that seed. Water that seed. Allowing God to give that increase. You don't know what someone else has already put in a person.
That's right.
You may come along and water something that was already put,
yes,
there.
Yes.
And something may not have been put there in the beginning. But you plant that seed,
yes,
to give someone else something to think about when God's ready to deliver them.
Yes. Yes.
So if we discipline ourselves in these areas, we are prepared for evangelists.
Yes.
If we embrace the things that God has brought us out of, we can help the next person to be delivered and set free as you were.
Yes.
So let us get out into the highways and the byways. Compel them to come. Go to our family members. Go to our friends. Go to that stranger you walk by,
yes,
every day. Compel them to come. If they don't come into this house, ask them, where do they worship? Where are you going to build your spirit man up?
Yes.
Where are you going so that you can be with God in eternity?
Yes.
Go out and compel them to come.
You go, girl. Oh, yeah. Well, she is gone. She is out of here. Amen.